संभव आत्मनः बंध मोक्ष च व्यवस्थानां स्वरूपतः यो वानुशैनं सर्गः पाषण्डस्य च संभवः आत्मनो बन्ध मोक्षौ च व्यवस्थानं स्वरूपतः यो वानुशैनं सर्गः पाषण्डस्य च संभवः आत्मनो बन्ध मोक्षौ च व्यवस्थानं स्वरूपतः यो वानुशैनं सर्गः पाषण्डस्य च संभवः आत्मनो बन्ध मोक्षौ च व्यवस्थानं स्वरूपतः योवानुशैनं सर्ग दस्य संभव Ladies, Yovanushainam sarga. पाषण्डस्य च सम्भवः आत्मनो च मन्दं मुक्षौ च व्यवस्थानं स्वरूपतः यः ऑल दोज वा आइदर अनुशयिनां मर्ज इन टू द बॉडी ऑफ द लॉर्ड सर्गः क्रिएशन Pashandasya of the infidels cha and sambhavaha appearance atmanaha of the living beings bandha conditioned moksha being liberated cha also vivasthanam being situated swarupataha in an unconditioned state. Transition proposed by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please also explain how merged in the body of the Lord, living beings are created and how the infidels appear in the world. Also please explain how the unconditioned living entities exist. Purport. The progressive devotee of the Lord must inquire from the bona fide spiritual master how living entities merge in the body of the Lord again come back at the time of creation. There are two kinds of living entities. There are the ever liberated unconditioned living entities, the living beings, as well as the ever-conditioned living beings. of the ever-conditioned living beings, there are two divisions. They are the faithful and the infidels. Of the faithful, there are again two divisions, namely the devotees and the mental speculators. The mental speculators desire to merge into the existence of the Lord or to become one with the Lord, whereas the devotees of the Lord desire to keep themselves separate identities and constantly engage in the service of the Lord. The devotees who are not fully purified, as well as the empiric philosophers, become conditioned again during the next creation for further purification. Such conditioned souls become liberated by further progress of devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit asked all these questions from the bona fide spiritual master in order to become completely equipped in the science of God. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. We are blessed to be sitting here together today in this beautiful temple of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath to hear about subject matters which are of utmost importance in our lives. We are trying to follow in the footsteps of this great personality called as Maharaj Parikshit, who also was sitting like we are sitting today. The difference between him and us is that he knew when he is going to die. And all of us sitting in this room do not know when we will die. But we will. Sooner or hopefully later. But as they say in English, as sure as death. Is there anything certain in this world of uncertainty? It is death. The amazing thing though about death of Parikshit Maharaj is he is sitting there This is the first day of his hearing, right? This is just the second canto. This is the first few hours of the first day of the 7-day discourse by Sukadeva Goswami. And we look at these questions being asked. We wonder, what is the stability of his consciousness to ask these questions? If you're going to die, what are questions you and I will ask? You can imagine. What happens to my parents? What about to my children? What about my property? What about my will? What about this and that? And what about, you know, the gold in my bank, in my locker? We may have so many things to figure out before we say goodbye to this world. But here is a person who is the king of the planet Earth, not a 2 BHK flat in Mumbai. He's owning the entire world and he's about to leave this world, his kingdom, his infantry, his treasury, his wife, and all his ministers and his praja. And he's asking questions like, what are the type of conditioned souls, five types of souls in this world? What happens when they die? How are they recreated? What does this indicate? It indicates complete stability of the consciousness. That he is in absolutely no anxiety. Right? Why is it like that? Why is he able to ask these profound questions? And this whole chapter is about questions only. And the whole Bhagavad is about the answers to these questions. And if you see, there are more than 15-20 questions being asked. Gopinath ki jai. And when we think about the state of his consciousness, you know, we are in a movement called as Krishna consciousness. So our primary concern is always with not what's happening outside, but what's happening inside the heart. The heart is the seat of consciousness. Why is Parikshit Maharaj able to be so stable from something as fearful as death? When death news are pronounced by the doctor or oncologist or a cancer patient, everything collapses. You only have few months to live in this world. You can try chemotherapy if you want, but stage 4 cancer means few months. Everything collapses when you hear that. Correct? He had only 7 days and nothing collapsed. Nothing happened. He was just the same person. In fact, he was thinking even more deeply, more profoundly. Right? The question, my dear friends, we are talking about today is preparedness for death. How prepared he was for the ultimate eventuality of our existence. Jatasya hi dhruvam rutyur, dhruvam janma mrutyasya cha. For one who is born, death is certain. For one who is dying, one who is dead, birth is certain. So, what type of quality of life should one live in this world so that he actually is prepared for this ultimate reality of existence? In fact, the entire Bhagavatam is based on this premise. Why would the greatest literature in the world, philosophically speaking, siddhantically, tattva-wise, there is no scripture greater than Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Krishna himself. Krishna sodhama pagate dharma jnana devisaha. Right? When Krishna left this world, with his jnana, it was sodhama pagate. It was abode. Then, kalodra nastra isham darisha. पुनार को अरुणोदित अगेन अरुणोदित अरुण सन द सन ऑफ भागवतम अगेन अरोज. सो दिस ग्रंथ दिस लिटरेचर एक्चुअली इज द सन ऑफ द वर्ल्ड. जस्ट लाइक कृष्णस प्रेजेंस इन दिस वर्ल्ड लेड टू सो मच ऑस्पिशियसनेस फॉर 125 प्लस इयर्स ही स्टेड हियर. दिस भागवतम इज सपोज टू बी द इल्यूमिनेटिंग पावर ऑफ कृष्णा प्रेजेंट to guide this misdirected civilization. It is not Hindu, it's not Indian, it's not just a Vedic literature. It is a universal scripture. Because it is universal, it is spoken at a time of so much relevancy. Somebody is dying. Is death universal? Yes. If death is universal, it cannot be a Hindu scripture. It cannot be just a sectarian scripture, because it's talking about death. And death is for all of us in every species of life. Therefore, it has got universal relevancy. Right? It's non-sectarian, absolutely non-sectarian. And therefore, we want to understand today, in the few minutes that we have together, what type of life we should all live. Because to the extent a student prepares during his 1 year of college, right, he's able to give the final exam nicely. Or when he prepares for NEET, nowadays NEET is going on, right? Everyone is in a NEET consciousness, right? NEET consciousness. All our young children like NEET, right? So to the extent they have worked from last 2 years, doing their integrated courses, etc., they prepared for their NEET exams. You can't pass NEET exam by reading only for 1 month. It's not possible. Right? And therefore, if life is the preparation, death is the examination. Correct? And therefore, one brilliant example of complete preparedness for the eventuality of death comes from the Holy Scripture in the 9th canto. One of the most brilliant examples by Shukdev Goswami of a very special king called as Maharaj Khatavanga. He is special because he is from the Solar dynasty, the Ikshvaku dynasty, on which Lord Ramachandra is one of the ancestors of Lord Ramachandra. Now, he was involved in a gruesome battle. Being the Kshatriyas of Solar dynasty are extremely powerful, therefore they would be sometimes asked, the sort of, like you, another company can send you somewhere for a job, for a project. They were asked to come, the project was to fight the demons, and he was asked to come from planet Earth to Swargaloka to fight. And on the gruesome battle, the demons lost. Because of the presence of Maharaj Khatavanga. He was chivalrous, he was dedicated, he was wedded to Brahminical culture, protector of his citizens. He had all the qualities which are adorning a great Rajarshi. And being so happy with him and for his chivalrous behavior and his undaunted fighting spirit, he was asked by the demigods, "We want to bless you. Please ask us for a benediction." Now, he could have asked so many things. If somebody asks you, the demigods ask you, "What do you want?" Indra comes and asks you, "What do you want?" Right? What will we say? His answer was very atypical and very amazing and extremely instructive. He said, "Please tell me how much time I have to live in this world." Brilliant, brilliant question. Right? I do not know I'm going to die, when I'm going to die. But you can tell me, you are demigods, you are controllers of everyone's destiny. Said, "You have only one muhurta to live in this world." What is a muhurta? A muhurta, according to our panchanga, is 48 minutes. We say Brahma muhurta. Right? What is Brahma muhurta? Brahma muhurta is 2 muhurtas before sunrise. Right? And ends 1 muhurta later on. So, So if the sun rises something like 6 o'clock these days, then around 4:30 or so is Brahmurta, where Mangalarti starts in all temples of ISKCON. We have only one Muhurta to live, 48 minutes only, right? Immediately he descended from heavenly planets and came back to earth. Why? Heavenly planets are a place only for bhog, right? We have 48 minutes to live in the world, you're not bothered about bhog, right? And Pataloka is a place where you just suffer for your sinful activities. The real place to actually exit from the universe is earth planet. It is the exit route from the universe. Therefore, it is the most blessed to be at where we are right now. And then immediately he just went into dhyan. And through mystic process, he absorbed his mind, the lotus feet of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And within those one muhurta which he had at his disposal, he perfected his life. And immediately he was promoted to Vaikuntha. Prabhupada calls this as the most brilliant example of departure in his purport. What does it indicate again? Completely prepared for. They say it's very important. This is a beautiful thing which we can actually try to remember this. If we can draw this all our life, it will be useful. There are two things you should always remember and two things you should always forget. This is very crisp and cryptic and very easy to understand and remember. Two things you should always forget. Someone has done bad to you, forget. Some good you have done to others, forget it. We don't want to elaborate on this too much, but you can get the point what we are trying to drive at. Right? Two things to always remember. Always remember, Satatam Smartavya Vishnu. Always remember Krishna and always remember death. Always remember death. If every day in the morning we get up and remember these two things, the Lord and our own death, what will God do for our japa? Imagine, in the morning, you're half groggy, where's the bead bag, right, sit down, sleepy, right, but immediately if you remind yourself, remembering Krishna means going towards eternality, and remembering death means becoming aware about the immediate possibility of departure. If both the things are remembered at the same time, it will enhance the quality of our sadhana bhakti by a great height. Right? These are two things which you will always forget and always remember. So, what is the quality of life you want to live by which we can remember Krishna at the time of death? In fact, this is the exam. Yamayamapi smarana bhavam tajyati ante kalevaram tamtam avaiti kaunteya sadata bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being we will remember at time of death as a cumulative thought. When we die, when we live this body which we love so much, right? All that we have done, all that we have desired, all that we have wanted in our life, all comes together is a cumulative singular one desire. It sort of conglomerates and configures itself into one particular type of desire which predominates in the realm of our consciousness. Right? And that ultimate desire determines where the subtle body will carry the soul. And then we go to decide which body is more suitable for fulfilling that desire. And depending on, then we go to intelligent, daiva, and then put the seed of the soul in the womb of the appropriate mother to fulfill those desires. But the goal is, of course, Ante Narayana Smriti. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's very, very favorite sloka, which was there on this board on this Janmashtami. Some of you who came for Janmashtami Darshan may have seen this. This or last, this Janmashtami. Which is a prayer by, in the Mukulmala Stotra, written by Maharaj Kulashekhara. Krishna Tvadiya Padapanka Japanjarantam Yadeva Mevisatumana Sarajaham Sa Prana Prayana Samaye Kafavata Pitto Kantavarodhana Vidhau Smaranam Kutaste. And this beautiful sloka was dear to our beloved Srila Prabhupada, because it immediately brings focus in our life. Because material life, by definition, the way it is always, it brings us into defocus from the goal of our life. Because of so much of entanglement in variety of activities, we become bahushakha yinantascha. Become bahushakha. Become many-branched intelligence. Therefore, this one-pointed resolute purpose of Krishna consciousness becomes skewed within the realm of our consciousness. Therefore, this great king prayed like this, that now that I am young, let the swan of my mind, Tvadiya Pada Pankaja, enter through the stem of your lotus feet. The swan has a very typical type of nature, the Raja Hamsa. The lotus plant, as we know, grows in water, right? It's a watery plant. It doesn't grow on land. It grows in water, right? It has a fibrous root system, something from biology, right? And the beak of the swan enters, because there is nectar, special nectar, in the lower end of the stem of the lotus. Therefore, it puts this beak inside and then puts it right inside and goes and wants to suck that nectar out. As it goes inside, there's a possibility that the neck of the swan may get stuck in the fibrous root system. Right? Because it's trying to get nectar. And Maharaj Guru is saying, let that happen. Let me get stuck. Let me get stuck while I'm trying to get the nectar of your lotus feet. Why? Because I'm young now. My faculties of my mind is under my control. I can constantly divert and channelize my intelligence where I want, right? Because prana prayana, when I'm about to die, everything will be in disarray. My kapha, my pitta, my vayu, everything will be in disarray. Smaranam kutaste. There is very, very less possibility that I will be able to remember you. And the goal of my life is to remember you, my dear Lord. Therefore, let me remember you, and if possible, die right now. Right? So, the way to remember Krishna at the time of death is based on how much asakti we have developed with the Lord. Because at the time of death, we remember things we are attached to. Right? Like this, it is said, the Jews are very famous for their business acumen. The Jew community, right? So this uncle is dying, right? He's 90 years old. He's gasping for death, my last few breaths. So he's saying, Johnny, you are there? Yes, Papa. Marina, you are there? Yes, Papa. His wife is there? Yes. Son is there? Yes. Who's at the shop then? Everyone is there, nobody is at the shop. Dhanda kon karega? Right. So, there is his asakti. His asakti is at the shop. So, you will remember the things which you are most attached to at the time of death. Right? And therefore, logically, you want to lead a lifestyle which makes us attached to Krishna. The book of Krishna says in the 7th chapter, Maya Sakta Manaha Partha Yogam Yunjam Madashrayaha Asam Sayam Samagram Mam Isagnasasi Tat Shrunu. 7.1. So this shloka is so very beautiful, so very special. Prabhupada glorifies this shloka a lot and uses this many times in his purports to tell us what the goal of life is. Maya Sakta. And Krishna says, become attached to me. Become attached to me. Don't get attached. You can live in this world because we have to live in this world. The world is real. Jobs, families, duties, vyavhar, everything has to be done because, you know, these are laukik duties which we have to perform. But don't be doing it in a state of attachment. Do it in a sense of duty. It's my duty to work. It's my duty to raise a family. It's my duty to really be a responsible citizen of the country. It is my duty to do all these things. But it is, my attachment is to the Lord. Prasi Maharaj obviously was doing his duties perfectly as a king. Maharaj Khatamaka was doing his duties as a king, but his heart was attached to Krishna. So how to become attached to Krishna is probably the most important question we can ever ask ourselves. How to lead a life of being attached to Krishna. And therefore we take from the holy scriptures two beautiful examples which demonstrate in a very, very practical manner how to live a life of attachment to Krishna. And that is the beauty of our philosophy. And the Krishna consciousness process is so sublime, which our beloved Srila Prabhupada gave us, where he does not want us to leave our families. In this purport, it is said there are two types of living entities, the pious souls of two types. One is the people who are impersonalist, others those who are personalist. The Mayavadi philosophy is based on the principle of renunciation. Therefore, they start their practice of sadhana by first taking sannyas. Right? So, it's a philosophy which is based on giving up attachments, giving up material desires. It's based on giving up, right? But our philosophy, which is very different, right? And therefore far superior, is based on positive attachment, right? The impersonalists practice dry renunciation. And the goal of their renunciation is ultimately to give up their bodies, which they know, and we also know, is a cause of suffering, right? So they want to go into a state of desirelessness, because desires lead to bodies, bodies lead to suffering and attachment. So let's go into a stage of desirelessness, and in desirelessness will let us give us no body, because I have no desire, so no body. If you have a desire, you have a body, fulfill that desire. No desire means no body. So where does the soul go? It goes into suspension in the Brahma Jyoti, where there is no body, there is no relationships, there is no Sukha, and there is no Dukha also, right? But there is no Krishna also. That is the problem, right? So you're just in suspended in the homogeneous tranquility of Brahman, but there is no possibility of any Adan-Pradan relationship. What is our philosophy? The Gaudiya philosophy, the Vaishnava philosophy, that is spelled out by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, so in his two verses which glorified Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, he said this, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Siksharatham Eka Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripa Mudiyastaham Prapadye. Right? He says, our philosophy is Vairagya Vidya. We also practice Vairagya Vidya, but through Nija Bhakti Yogam. Nija means personal. Bhakti Yoga means devotional service, right? We practice renunciation by doing the positive thing of engaging in Krishna's devotional service. When you become attached to Krishna, automatically many things unwanted start becoming, leaving us. Right? And even though we are living the real world, hopefully we can live such a way where we can use all that we have, right? But in relation to Krishna, the philosophical treatise is Nirbandhe Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Sa Uchyate, right? Where we may have a car, we may have a bungalow, we may have money, we may have a house, we may have wife and children, etc., husband, etc. But we are not living as this is not mine. Right? This is not mine. The moment we say the word mine, we unfortunately go into the mode of enjoyment. Which is detrimental. It is my wife, so I should enjoy my wife. It is my car, I should enjoy my car. Right? The my money, I should enjoy my money. Right? So that word mine, which is equal to possessiveness, is a seed of desire for enjoyment. Then what do the Vaishnavas think? Is her wife not yours? Then whose is she? Right? Yes, she is my wife in a way. But actually we say, the more we see it as, she is Krishna's. Right? And she happens to be my wife. Right? The children belong to Krishna. So if we just understand this one profound reality of life, everything belongs to Krishna. How beautiful is that understanding? Everything. Literally everything. Nothing exempted. Krishna says, Aham sarvasa prabhav matasavram pravartati. Iti mata badanti maam. Right? Everything created by me. So everything belongs to Krishna. But while they are, things are with us, we use them not for our personal sense gratification, because we know sense gratification is detrimental to the soul. It corrupts the soul. It degrades the soul. Right? Because it creates a state of bondage. And bondage means suffering. When you have something, you suffer because you have to maintain it. And you suffer even more when you lose it. Right? And the anxiety of maintaining it is so high. Those who have big money are in most anxiety. One of my patients came to me recently. He is a big builder. He's a big builder. You know, buildings everywhere. All Gujarat, everywhere he's got big gun. And he was in so much anxiety. Right? And he went to some naturopathic center for some detox. Right? So he went to detox, and when he went to detox, his BP shot up. So they were doing all this spinal massage and this and that, something they were doing. But the BP was so high, and they were not able to control his BP. So he said, you know, you're doing all this treatment, but my BP is high. He said, no, it's all right. It's all stress, no, don't worry. But he was not happy with that answer, you know. So he came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital and said, I must meet somebody here. When we talked to him, he can't sleep, he can't digest his food, he's in constant anxiety. And he's a multi-millionaire, right? And I was thinking, I'm so happy. I don't have billions of rupees. I don't have huge cars. I've not built any building so far, right? I don't build nothing practically. And I'm just so happy because I can sleep well. And BP is under control. Everything is fine with me. Right? The more you have, there's a crazy propaganda of this world, have more. Doesn't make sense. Why? Why should we wear a bigger and bigger crown on our head, even though it is studded with jewels and emeralds and rubies and quartz and lapis lazuli? But a heavy crown only makes us sink more faster in the cycle of birth and death. Right? We don't have a heavy crown on our head. Right? All this wealth is a heavy crown. It gives you, when you are up there, it gives you glory. But then you sink with that weight, you cannot handle it. Right? And therefore, the Bhagavatam, which is the manual for life, is so beautiful. Here is an example, again from the ninth canto, of how we come back to the original question. What is the original question? How to become attached to Christ. That is the most beautiful thing you want to do in our life. That is the very goal of it. That's why you and I are here today. We could be anywhere else today. We could be at home watching television or some IPL or whatever else is going on. Right? But we are in Krishna's temple. How blessed, how fortunate that we made the right decision to come here today and every Sunday. Hopefully we are here. Because that keeps us, our mind, in focus. And who's a better example of this than the great Maharaj Ambarish? Right? So, in a very practical way, we will look into his example of how we become attached to Krishna. This sloka, Prabhupada qualifies as one of the most important slokas of the Srimad entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. Right? Imagine out of the 18,000 verses, this is singled out as one of the most beautiful jewels. And is just before the 10th canto starts. Because next canto will be Krishna's pastimes. So strategically, Sukadeva Goswami speaks about this pastime in the 9th canto. Because this is the way we actually begin to get attached to this beautiful form of Sri Krishna. Savai manaha Krishna padaravindayor. You can say this. This is a beautiful verse. Savai manaha Krishna padaravindayor. Vachamsi vaikuntha gunanuvarnane. Karau harer mandira. Marjinadishu Shrutim Chakrayuchataha Sat Kathodaye. I will read the translation. Please hear carefully, because in this lies a set of information which will lead our lives to perfection. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord. His hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord. His ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna. Krishna's temples or Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. Engage a sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. Engage a sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of tulsi offered to the Lord. And he engaged his tongue in tasting what? Krishna? Krishna Prasad. This thing we do properly. In this, we are perfectly following Maharaj Ambarish. Bhagisab, we have to still learn. He engaged his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord. Today I came walking from Grand Road Station. Luckily, I'm happy I did that. I walked to the temple. His head in bowing down before the Lord and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service to the Lord, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. Ambarish Maharaj ki
jai.
So let's look at this a little bit more analytically, correct? The first thing he did was to engage. Now, the tattva here is, Rupa Goswami, the tattva which he gives is, Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uttama. Right? Giving up the upadhi. Upadhi means title, designation, sense of identity. Right? Sarvapadi vinirmuktam. Giving up the identity that I am this, Falantikana, whatever we think we are, right? Vinirmuktam, right? But seeing ourselves more relation to Krishna. After having done that, then what? Important thing is Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. This is what is the whole verse is elaborating this particular Siddhanta of Sripad Rupa Goswami. Right? Rishik means senses. Rishikesh means not the Haridwar Rishikesh. Rishikesh means the Lord of the senses. Sevanam. So how to engage each sense in the Lord's service? You see, the principle is so simple. The more you do something, you get attached to it. Right? Suppose you like some dish. Right? What do you want to do then? You like it, so what do? You want to eat it more. And then you want to eat it more. So once you eat it more, what happens to it? It becomes more and more attached to it. Oh yeah, I like. So you become attached. So when you do something which you like, you become more and more attached to it. And that's what you want to do. It's so simple. And yet so profound. Correct? But the first thing is he engaged his mind. Savai Manaha, because mind is the central hero which orchestrates the activities of the Karmendriyas and the Gnanendriyas. All the 10 senses, 5 working and the sensory senses are there. All are being governed by whom? The mind. So first is Savai Manaha Krishna Padaravindayor. We said about Kulasekhar Maharaj also. Let the mind be attached to Krishna. Right? So there's the word man, manaha, manaha. Therefore, we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right? The mind gets attached to Krishna, Manastrayatiti Mantra. The first thing is to put the mind in Krishna's service by chanting the holy names. Right? The next thing he did was his words. Right? His words and glorifying Krishna. Now, as we are saying these things, let us examine simultaneously. What are our proclivities? What are our tendencies? How are we using this faculty which God has given us of speaking? Right? How much in the day or the week or the month or whatever time we have at our disposal, how much of that is in percentage wise spent on talking about Krishna? And how much are we talking about non-Krishna subjects, which is technically called as gossip. worldly, it's called prajalpa, right? So how much is actually worldly talk, what is called as the Bengali word for this, Gauranga Mahaprabhu mentioned to Sripada Raghunatha Swami, he says, Gramya Katha, he said the word, Gramya Katha. Gramya Katha na shunibe kane. He said, don't speak Gramya Katha and don't hear Gramya Katha. But generally what we like to do is, okay. So we understand our fallen nature. So when you understand this, you become a little more humble. Yeah, actually, I'm not like that. You think we are very great devotees, right? But if you are great devotees, then we should be doing this. What is being said over here? So engage the tongue in talking about Krishna, right? In the old ISKCON days, and not so much now. Whenever the devotees heard anything in the lecture, when they heard any talk of Prabhupada or read anything, they met the devotee, they would immediately talk about it. Did you know what I read today? Did you hear that class of Srila Prabhupada? Right? You know, today morning, our Rameshwar Maharaj was giving a nice class. You know, what a great point he said. This point, what an analogy. I never want to forget this analogy. They immediately would connect and remember talking about. But when we talk nowadays, what do we talk about? We'll not get into details. We won't get into all that. Right? But we can just do self-examination. His hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord. Right? Radhana Swami Maharaj was at the Golden Temple many years ago. Right? And this he impressed him a lot. The moment he entered this temple, there were people who were coming from Canada, America, everywhere, all these Sikh brothers of ours, right? Very rich people. And what they were doing, they were having cloth in their hand. And every time somebody walked along the path in the temple, what they would do? They would. So the temple remained at all times completely spotlessly clean. Right? Then when people would give their juta at the shoe stall, then they would take the juta and before the gentleman comes back, after the darshan, it takes about an hour or so, they will polish that juta and chappal. And then very respectfully give it in front of him when he comes. So like you think, hey, it's a new juta. It's not, it's your old juta only. But it has been polished. by people who are, you know, moving around in BMWs. They come from all the way from there to do seva to the pilgrims. Right? So keeping the temple clean. So this, like, clean the temple, in fact, it is such an important activity that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentioned this in the Guru Astakam. What is it there?
Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita Vaditra Madhyan Manasurasena Roman.
No, what is that? No, third one. Third one. What is the third one?
Sri Vigraha Radhana Nitya Nana Garatan Man
Mandira Majanada. How many of us have done that? How many of us have taken a cloth or a jhadu and cleansed the temple of the Lord? Right? Such a beautiful activity to do. Clean the tall temple. It will cleanse our heart in a very profound way.
His ears in always hearing about the Lord. Right? Unfortunately, worldly talks attracts our hearts so much. Right? But we have to train our minds and our hearts to relish. Look at Parishit Maharaj's example. Again, we go back to that example of a brilliant person who had the stability of consciousness to relish Bhagavatam for 7 days and seven nights non-stop. What a rasa. What a asakti. What a nature to simply hear. Right? He was never tired of hearing about Krishna. Never tired. Right? And with us, we sit in a class and our mind goes here and there, and we want to fiddle our mobile, start scratching somewhere, look at the time, feel hungry, remember something else, right? You know, we are so fickle-minded, right? That is the sorry sort of affairs in Kali Yuga, right? But simply, if we can, Srimatam, Swakatha, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana, Lidhantasthahi, Abhadrani. One of the most beautiful ways of cleansing our hearts is simply sitting together like this, the way it's doing today, and hearing for the glories of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So simple, so profound. Right? His eyes and seeing the deity of the Lord. The eyes are so powerful in Kali Yuga, right? The eyes are always looking here and there. Right? And you drive down the road, you find all these big hoardings are there. Every hoarding is trying to attract you. Buy this. You don't have money to buy, but you know everything is saying, buy all this stuff, right? And he's wondering, who's going to buy all that if you're not in the hoardings? But, you know, we are at home, we want to look at the mobile, we want to look at the television. Our eyes are always hankering to look at something beautiful. The sense of the eye is extremely powerful in Kali Yuga. And therefore, the way the cameras are put in this way, the way the action is made, you know, when a movie is made, they have six cameras, and just fast things go, right? The mind wants to get constantly stimulated by new vision. Like, when you think about Radhanath Swami Maharaj sitting there for 1 month on the rock alone on the bank of the Ganga. Same mountain, 1 month. Same clouds, more or less, but they're just moving, that's all. Same Ganga is flowing, right? What are you looking at for 1 month? Right? But what a profound sort of stability of consciousness to be able to see meaning and life and depth of perception even in the mountain, the clouds, the sky and the flowing Ganga. Nothing is apparently changing, but you're still so peaceful, completely unagitated sense of consciousness. The eyes are so agitated, they want to look at something constantly going on. And therefore, devotees try so hard to make the deities look so beautiful. How many of you came for Chandan Yatra Darshan for 21 days? Who saw the mango festival, Darshan? Yeah? Gopalji Maharaj, our beloved Lord, Giridhari, right? He was dressed by our deity department team with such elaborate arrangements for 21 long nice days, commemorating the Chandan Yatra performed by Sripad Maghavendra Puri for his beloved deity Kishore Gopinath at Remuna, right? So they were getting special dresses and chandan was being painted, and Premeshwar Prabhu would make designs over his beautiful Mukharvinda,
right? And there is special backdrop and special offerings of rasgulla. Every day was such a festival for Gopalji, right? Especially for all of us. And all of you must be getting it in your mobiles. If you're not getting it, please subscribe to this, right? You see deity darshan. All the devotees enjoy. Oh, darshan. Oh, how Radha Raman looks today. Oh, how does Radha Vrindavan Bihari look? Oh, how Radha Samsundar looks today. Devotees spend some time of the day just looking at the Lord's forms. It is such a beautiful thing to appreciate. How is Radha Raman? You are in here. You are not seeing Radha Raman. He is in Vrindavan. But you sitting in your mobile, you can see him. Right? Therefore, the devotees make special effort to make the Lord even more beautiful. Why? So that our drab eyes can really look at something one was really, really, actually beautiful. These flashy camera tricks of colors is not really beauty at all. Krishna is the resort of all beauty. Rupa Goswami warns us that don't go to Kechi Ghat. If you happen to see this person in the threefold bending form playing his flute, you will lose all attraction for material life. Right? What a way of saying it. What a way of beautiful way of saying it, right? So we want to come to the temple. We would like to lead a temple-centric life. Right? Wherever we are, whenever people get deputed to America or they go to New Zealand or they go to wherever they go, first thing they'll find out is there ISKCON temple around there? Why? Prasad. First is Prasad, other is association, right? Because you miss the temple, you miss the Lord. But Prabhupada's kindness, now there is ISKCON temple practically everywhere in the whole world. Srila Prabhupada, key. Wherever you go, there'll be ISKCON temple not very far from where you are staying, right? So this way, we want to remain always connected with the Lord's temple, right? And therefore the eyes must behold the Lord's beautiful forms. When we come to temple, spend some time with the deities. Don't just look at them with your eyes in a very passive, uninteresting manner. And then you look at them. Arey bhai, look at them more closely. Meditate on their feet, the beautiful feet. Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam. Right? When Mahaprabhu was at Gaya, he did a star ceremony of his dear father Jagannath Mishra. There's a footprint of the Lord, the temple of Gadadhar. Vishnu's footprint is there. And Mahaprabhu was so happy with the pujaris there by glorifying the glories of the Lord's lotus feet. This is the same Ganga which was there on the head of Bali Maharaj. This is the same Ganga from which the Ganga emanates, right? The glorifying so many ways the Lord's lotus feet. And hearing that, Mahaprabhu was in complete ecstasy. The same Lord's feet are to be seen here. Right? He is the Ashray Tattva. Krishna is Ashray Tattva. Right? He is the only Ashray for the soul. And that Ashray is fully manifest in the Lord's lotus feet. Right? Therefore, what did Haridas Thakur do at the time of his departure? Today we're talking about departures today, right? What did Mahaprabhu, would Haridas Thakur do? He made the Lord sit there under the Siddha Bakula tree and held his feet on his heart. And what were his eyes doing? His husband was closed. Eyes were beholding the Lord's Sri Gaura Chandra, the moon-like face, right? And she was chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Holding the Lord's lotus feet, glorifying the Lord by his Sri Mukha, and beholding the Lord's form, Mr. Thakur left this world, right? So we want to live a life where we can become attached like this to the Lord. If somebody gives you a flower which the Lord has given you, accept it with great reverence. Sometimes the pujaris stand here and, you know, if you offer a few flowers and they will give you some flowers from the Lord's lotus feet, those flowers are very special. Anything which Krishna touches is special. Anything in relation to Krishna is special. Right? That flower, of all the thousands of flowers which are available at the Dadar market, this flower is very special. There are millions of flowers at Dadar market, but this flower actually got a chance to come to touch Krishna's lotus feet. When you smell that flower, you are smelling the smell of Krishna's lotus feet.
which awakened the bhakti in the heart of the four Kumaras as they were entering Vaikuntha. There's a nice verse in the Bhattaviraj Goswami. Krishna Pada Padma Gandha Jai Janapai Brahma Loka Adi Sukha Taranahi Bhai. Right? This is the power of the smelling the flower of the Lord Lotus Feet. What a verse. What a translated powerful verse. Krishna Pada Padma. If the flower, Padma means flower. Gandha. The smell, the fragrance. Whoever smells the flower which is offered to the Lord, what is the benefit, what is the result? What is the power of that flower, what is the, of that fragrance? Brahma Loka Adi Sukha. The Sukha which is available not in Swarga Loka but beyond that in Satya Loka, Brahma Loka. Tara Nahi Bhai. He loses the attraction for even the pleasures of the highest planet of the material world. He loses all likeliness for any sense gratification. Even up to the level of Brahma Loka. Right? So this is the power of telling Krishna's lotus feet. In this way, Ramesh Maharaj is teaching us, you meet the devotees, touch their bodies, we embrace them. The head to bow down in front of the Lord. What is the head meant for? Generally, somebody said like that, you know, the only part of the head in front of the barber. How sad. And the barber says, Sadi Chakaro. Right? Go to the barber, the guy puts the head down, you put the head down in front of the barber. Okay, you, if you want a haircut, that's fine. But the head is meant for what? The head should bow down to Krishna. Right? Offering obeisances. In this way, we want to use our entire life with all our sense in Krishna's service. There's another example, we'll end with this, which is there. When Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, right? In South India, something wonderful happened. Mahaprabhu, as a example, as a typical example, one example, Kaviraj Goswami talks about the Kurma Brahman, right? Now here is Maharaj Ambarish, who's a very rich king, but an example is something which you and I can easily follow. Similarly, we have this example of a grihastha like you and me, right? Was a brahmana called Sisymus, Kurma Brahman, because he lived in a place called as Kurma Kshetra. So, he sees the Lord, and just by hearing his udgar of how Mahaprabhu is saying, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, was so attracted to his beautiful form, Atana Nimita Bhujo, long arms going to his knees, he said, please come to my home. Come to my home and bless our home. Mahaprabhu goes to his home, right? And then he washes his feet, Pada Prakshalanam, right? Offers the flowers or the water to his family members, for the Lord's various nice vyanjana to eat, to honor, and then takes his remnants of his food. And then he opens his heart and tells about the problems he is going through. And this is a revelation of his heart. Kripakara Prabhu Mora Yana Toma Sange Sahitana Pari Dukha Vishaya Tarange. Prabhupada elaborates on this word called Vishaya Taranga. Right? That generally speaking we try to become very comfortable in this material world. Right? But however you try, you can see we cannot become comfortable here. There will be a war, there will be a pandemic. There will be some upheaval will be there. Something will happen to your family world. Something always, however, try to stabilize your life in whatever you do, there will always be some destabilizing factors will be there. Always. Right? And being aware of this, he said, my life is always in turmoil. I'm going through Vishaya Taranga. Right? So please take me along with you. I don't want to live this life. Prabhupada says he was a very, apparently probably a rich person. But he said, I want to go with you. What did Mahaprabhu advise Kurma Brahman is very significant. So we heard about what Ambarish Maharaj was told. Now we will hear what Mahaprabhu told Kuma Brahman, because what he told him is for you and me as well.
Yare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh amaragya guru hayya taro ei desh.
Said, whomever you meet, you tell them about Krishna, right? And amaragya, by my order, you become a representative and give the message to whomever you meet. Now, that means Prabhupada is talking, Mahaprabhu is talking about preaching. Now, this is a very important activity which all of us grihasthas can perform. And if you preach Krishna consciousness as a grihastha, you have money, we have money, some influence, some neighbor, some friends, some office colleagues, right? Office contacts, extended family. We have so many people around us whom we have influence. By preaching to them, we can become really, really attached to. Remember that the whole point of discussion today is to become attached to Krishna. Right? And if you preach, the benediction given is so powerful by Mahaprabhu. He says,
Kabuna badhiya tomar vishaya taranga punarapi aithani pabe mora sanga.
Pabe mora sanga. If you preach, if you live a life like Amrish Maharaj, using all the sense in Krishna's service, and additional thing is when you preach, Mahaprabhu says, you will get my personal sangha. Right? And if you follow these regular principles, we will meet again here, or rather you will never lose my company. I will read this beautiful purport here. And we'll end with this nice instruction the Prabhupada is giving to all of us. This is an opportunity for everyone. If one simply follows the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the guidance of his representative and chants Hare Krishna mantra, teaching everyone as far as possible the same principle, the contamination of material life will not even touch him. It is so simple, right? It is not matter whether you live in Vrindavan or Navadvip or Jagannath Puri or in the midst of European countries or in Mumbai, where the material sphere of life is very prominent. If a devotee follows the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he lives in the company of the Lord. If you follow instructions, you live with that person. If you follow Prabhupada's instructions, live with Srila Prabhupada. If you follow Mahaprabhu's instructions, we live with Mahaprabhu. Pabe Mora Sangha. Wherever he lives, he converts the place into Vrindavan and Navadvip. This means that materialism cannot touch him. This is the secret of success for one advancing in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, the first word they use in the purport is, the first word of the purport which we read today, the verse is, the progressive devotee. Right? So, in this way, for those who want to make progress, to take the example of Khatvanga Maharaj very seriously, to the example of Maharaj Parishit seriously, to allow our life to be orchestrated in such a way where we do not allow the things of this world to distract us from the goal of our life, right? This is a rare, rare, rare human birth which we have received. Do not waste it, but use it fruitfully, and fulfilling the greatest need of our soul to become Krishna conscious. And the process by Prabhupada's mercy is so simple, so profound, and so enjoyable. So take it and spread it far and wide to everyone. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? It's a little late, I know. But, yes. Bihari Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for an excellent class. For the first time, I am making a comment rather than asking a question. So, right from the very beginning, as you were giving the class, some may parallelly think that Parikshit Maharaj, oh, he was so responsible, so organized that he could have a clear consciousness. He had no detachment because he was so organized. We heard that from Maharaj. Then Ambarish Maharaj, he was the king of 7 different planets. So, extremely responsible person and sort of earned that detachment or mercy of the Lord. Then again somebody can parallelly think that, oh, you are quoting Chaitanya Charitamrita devotees, and they are all pure devotees, directly descending from the spiritual world. So how am I to connect with what you are saying, to be attached to Krishna? And towards the end, the way you give the story of Kurma Brahman, where you said these 2 verses, the Jaradekha Vutarekho Krishna Vudesan, then Kavuna Badivatumaya Vishayatarana. These 2 actually completely knit the whole story so beautifully that it ticked all responsible aspects of big saintly kings, all of the pure devotees descending in Chaitanya Charitamrita, to a common man who was wondering right from the very beginning, how am I to connect? How am I to get attracted to Krishna? And here was a very, very tangible example. If you try to preach Krishna consciousness to others by your behavior, by your words, by your actions, to your immediate vicinity, you will be protected. Maya will not touch you. You summarize this so well. So I had to just comment it because I was questioning right from the very beginning, and at the end you answered everything. So I had to just comment. Thank you so much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Please listen to, there was one small dance performance which was not performed by the Kalyan Children Congregation. So, requesting all the devotees to please sit down for 2 minutes and let us encourage the children to perform that dance. There is one dance performance which is pending. Hari Bol. Please sit down. Requesting all the devotees to please sit down. Let us express our appreciation to Shomitra, Sathvi, Varidhi, Arna and Darsh by loudly chanting 3 times.
Haribo! Haribo!
Now the prasad is ready, so devotees are requested to have the prasad downstairs.